And so as we look at the idea of politics, if you go to that next slide, there are three mountains. You know, I really prayed and meditated on this thing because I really want God's people to understand God's heart. So again, I'm not here this morning. I'm not going to promote any political party. I'm not going to promote any candidate. I'm going to promote what the scripture says. And my prayer that as you sit there, that you hear the heart of God and what God is saying.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How Should I View Political Candidates? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How Should I View Political Candidates?
When these individuals are in authority, the people, the word righteous refers to those who have conformed to an ethical or moral standard. When these individuals are in authority, the people rejoice because they know they are being governed by leaders who live by standards that call for accountability. Watch this now, to the highest good, the highest good. All right. On the other hand, when the wicked rule, the people mourn because they are oppressed and treated unfairly. Second, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When the righteous are in leadership, the nation is morally lifted up. But unrighteous leadership provides a landscape for sin to be present and leads to disgrace and shame. Now this is me, Pastor Glaze. I kind of threw this in. Yeah, I make up stuff every now and then. So we have a motto in this country which says we should have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I think we should change it to say of the people, by the people, and for righteousness. That's all right. That's all right. Get them armor bearers ready there. All right. But of the people, by the people, and for righteousness. That's who we ought to be for. I mean, and then look at this. The Bible says when the government is for righteousness, it is also what? For the people. Why? Because it's then that the people rejoice. It's then that the people rejoice. So there's no question from looking at the kings in the Old Testament and looking at those two key scriptures in the book of Proverbs that God's main concern with leadership in a country is righteousness. That's his main concern. Now, I want to look at characteristics of a righteous politician in the book of Proverbs. Characteristics of a righteous politician in the book of Proverbs. So I'm just, you know, going to try to go through this as quickly as possible. But the first thing we see here, a righteous politician loves and protects the citizens of the nation. Proverbs 20 and 28, it says about a leader, love and faithfulness keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure. Wow. Wow. Let me read that again. Love and faithfulness keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure. A king who truly loves his citizens and faithfully rules over them will stay on the throne for a long time. The qualities of the king will be reflected in his people, and they will want him to rule over them. Furthermore, the king who loves his people will do everything in his power to what? To protect them. To protect them. So that's the first thing. Now again, what I'm going to say here, you know, by the end of this message, you're going to sit there and say, you know, Pastor Glaze, I'm really not any closer to deciding who I'm going to. And you know, that's the way it should be. I'm just trying to give you a process to work through. And at the end, I'm going to give you a couple tips and a couple guidelines. But I'm just trying to give you a process right now to work for. See, here's my problem, Saints. And again, Brother Scott, you know, you might need to come and stand here in a second, man. I can see, man. I can see you might need to come and stand here in a second. And this is my problem as a pastor. People who make decisions and they haven't studied the issues. Amen, amen. Thank you, whoever that was. Whoever that was, thank you, thank you, thank you. Saints, we got to be informed. Just don't go to the polls and pull the lever. But know the issues, know the candidates, so that, you know, I guarantee you, when I step in that voting booth, I'm going to pull the issue, and when I pull the lever, it's going to be based on some conviction from the scripture. There's going to be something that I prayed about, I studied, and the Lord spoke to my heart on, and it's not going to be because I felt a certain way, or it's not going to be because somebody told me to do something. It's going to be because I've studied the Word of God, I've prayed about it, I've tried to be led by the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to have biblical conviction and a biblical basis, whichever way it goes, that when I stand before the Lord, I want to stand, even if I, and you can say, well, why you say that? Even if I vote, right or wrong, that when I stand before the Lord, I at least want to say, Lord, based on the scripture, this is how I feel, this is how I felt led. And I think that's all God is asking. That's what God is asking from me, and that's what he's asking from you. Just to get into the Word and understand what the Word says, and then make a decision based on what the scripture says. And so we see that a righteous politician loves and protects the citizens. Now here we got to see, right, this next one is going to knock everybody out. A righteous politician. Again, I'm just giving you the characteristics that it says in Proverbs. Now you take the information and you process it. I'm just giving you the information, all right? Look at excellent Proverbs 17:7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. You don't expect a fool to say pleasant and excellent things. You don't expect that from a fool. When they say foolish things, that's almost, I just expected him to say that. But look at this. Much less do lying lips a prince. Wow. What is a prince? A prince is one in authority. A prince is a ruler. This verse contains two powerful truths. First, we don't expect the fool to have excellent speech. Second, just like we don't expect the fool to have excellent speech, we don't expect the ruler to be a liar. When kings and princes lie, the subjects of the kingdom do not know what's going on. Conversely, when the king speaks the truth, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:13, that he is loved by the people. He is loved by the people. A righteous politician protects those who are wise. Proverbs 14:35. The king's favor, the president's favor, is toward the wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. The king is to be pleased with those who are living wisely and should do everything in his power or her power to protect them. And you know, when you think about laws that are enacted, you know, the laws should be set up to protect those who are doing right. You know, you don't set up laws to punish the people who are doing right. The laws are set up to punish those who are doing wrong. So, you know, if we look at a king, you know, we need to look at a king who is protecting the rights of those who are doing right. All right? A righteous politician. All right, let me move on. Amen. I see, man. I got to recruit me some new members. I'm going to recruit some new members. They might not even be saved. They might not even be saved. I'm just going to say, look, y'all just sit over there and say amen. That's You don't even need to know Christ, man. Just... Amen. All right. A righteous politician surrounds himself with wise counselors. A ruler who surrounds himself with wicked counselors will be told a bunch of lies. On the other hand, when his counselors are righteous, he will exercise wisdom in his decision making. Proverbs 25:5 and 29:12. A righteous politician seeks godly wisdom. So, you know, other people will say, well, you know, why do they need to seek God? I know this is what the world is going to say. This is what the world is going to say. Well, why do you need to seek God? And then this is the next argument, right? Well, what God do we seek? You know, Buddha, Muhammad, Allah. So then, you know, the question comes. But the fact of the matter is, the writer of Proverbs says that the righteous politician seeks godly wisdom. Now, notice this verse. And I put this whole verse in there because I think it's so powerful. I, wisdom, dwell with the prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Look at this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Look at this. By me, by what? Wisdom and the fear of the Lord. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles and even all the judges of the earth. And, you know, that's why I think it's powerful, you know, in the past when presidents have called for the preachers to come in times of crisis. You know, again, you know, they might be listening to, you know, people who are not saved and stuff, like, you know, but I think it's important that the people of God come. I mean, because you look at, you know, God is looking for righteousness. And if a righteous people are calling out to a righteous God, I just have to believe somewhere in there that God is going to move. And so as the king seeks, and the king has to make a lot of decisions, God bless the king. God bless the king that does it on his or her face. Seeking the Lord. Asking God. Say, Lord, I don't know. I really don't know, Lord, but you know. And James says, if anybody lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. So the righteous politician seeks not only wisdom, but godly wisdom. Notice again what the writer of Proverbs says. He says, I, wisdom, dwell in prudence, the fear of the Lord. By me, kings reign. By me, kings reign. A righteous politician is contemplative. God is sovereign, and sometimes he conceals a matter for his glory. Look at that verse, Proverbs 25 and verse 2. Proverbs 25. Okay, it's up on the big screen, up on the big board, as Good Morning America would say. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. You know, God is sovereign, and God can do whatever he wants to do. And if he decides to conceal something so that nobody knows it, he can do it in his glory. But it's a great thing. It's the glory of the king to what? Search a matter out. That is the king's glory to be meditative. It's the king's glory to think through these things. It's the king's glory to try to find out what the mind of God is. It's to the glory of the king to try to find out what God has concealed. And seek his perfect will. And as we head to these last three, you might want to turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. And in Proverbs 31, look what it says here. The words of who? Who? I can't hear you. A king. The words of a king. So who are we talking about? Talking about the president. Talking about the leader. The words of King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Wow. You know, there's some good wisdom upon mother's knee, right? You know, you go back to, going back, you know, what did Bill Withers say? Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played the tambourine so well. Grandma, what was he saying? Grandma has some wisdom, right? And Lemuel, now this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is inspired by God. But Lemuel, he said, not only was it inspired by God, but, you know, my mom taught me this too. All right? My mom gave this to me. And the first thing that my mom told me was a righteous politician is moral. That's the first thing that my mom taught me, that a righteous politician is moral. Look what it says here. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. What will take down a leader quicker than anything else? Immorality. Immorality. And so as we look at a leader, it's very clear here that one of the qualifications, there should be some morality within this individual. Secondly, the politician should be clear-minded. Clear-minded. All right? Verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Watch this. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert justice of any of the afflicted. And so what is he saying? He's saying that you got to have a clear mind. That you can't be having your mind foggy and clouded, but you got to be a clear thinker unless you pervert justice. And then the third thing, a righteous politician fights for the cause of the afflicted and the poor. Verses 8 and 9, it says, open thou, now it's talking to the king. It's talking to the king. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. So these are some of the things that we see in the book of Proverbs as we talk about selecting a king. Now, if you go to the next slide, this is how, to me, now again, you can agree with this or not, but I'm just saying to me, this is what I want to know. We said righteousness is conformity to an ethical or moral standard. So these are three things that, based on the fact that, first and foremost, that we are called to righteousness. No question about that. I want to know who is righteous. I want to know who will promote a righteous agenda. And I want to know who will protect the rights of the righteous. That's what I'm looking for. All right? Righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is the reproach to any people. So that's what you got to figure out, right? You got to figure out who is righteous and who will promote a righteous agenda and who will protect the rights of the righteous. Now, again, we may all study this and come to different conclusions. It's amazing. I have good pastor friends. that I know love the Lord, know the word, and they both on the exact extreme. I mean, they're way far away on the opposite ends. And they've all based what they believe on what? On the word of God. Okay? On their conviction. All right? That's what I'm saying. So you might study, and you might come out to something exactly the opposite than what another person in the body of Christ found. You know, I found, as I talk to people in the body, there are three ways that people are going. Vote for this one, vote for that one, or don't vote at all. All right? So I think, you know, and the other thing, and again, I'm going to promote this because I think what this deals with right here more than anything else is your attitude in the midst of it all. You know, what attitude should we have? Not telling you who to vote for, but what attitude should you have? Man, I've seen Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, almost get into a knockdown drag out over there, the one that they want. And brethren, these things ought not to be. They ought not to be. You know, they ought not to be. So I'm going to say this and I'm done. I'm going to say this and I'm done. What is the Christian voting guide? Yeah, everybody got a voting guide. I went online this morning and pulled down a voting guide. Somebody else gave me a voting guide. There's all kind of voting guides out there, you know, lining up all the issues. And, you know, I saw one. I got a voting guide this morning that lined up all the issues. It had the Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other, and put the issues in the middle, right? So there's all kind of stuff out there. But what is the best Christian voting guide? Well, number one is to be issue informed. Know the issues, all right? Number two, be saturated with prayer. You commit this thing to the Lord and commit it to prayer. Number three, be biblically focused. And number four, be Holy Spirit led. You know, if you do this, you can stand before the Lord one day and say, Lord, I wanted to trust you in this process. And I feel that this is how you led me. Not how I wanted to, but Lord, I feel that this is how you led me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we don't want to close without mentioning Christ, because somebody can come today, oh man, that was just a political, there wasn't no political message, it was a biblical message. And so Lord, I pray that you would help us understand from the Bible, Lord, your will and your way. Lord, I ask today that if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ or the pardon of their sin, which is the most important thing, because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. We thank God for Jesus Christ, who one day will come and rule this earth with a rod of iron. And so we thank you for that. Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that has never asked Jesus Christ to come into their life, to be their Lord and Savior, Lord, today that they might come and give their life to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that's looking for a church home, and this is the place where you have led them, Lord, that as we give this invitation, that they might step out and come forward, and counselor would take them by the hand, explain to them what it means to become a member of this church. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How Do I Build and Maintain Healthy Relationships? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How Should I View Political Candidates? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Should I View Political Candidates? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Should I View Political Candidates? or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.